Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 17. Truth, my friend? Here Tayo paused, his whiskers spread, and fixed his eyes upon the priest. Truth's a hat, no more, no less.
A hat?
Tundelko's black and white fur bunched again. Of course. What else? Observe and think. A hat can function many ways. To warm the head, to keep it dry, to shade it from the summer heat, or even just to decorate and spruce a poor head up a bit. But every hat, no matter what, is built the same, a bowl of cloth stitched round about to reinforce it, give it shape, and make it stand. Truth is likewise fixed that way. It has a shape, no matter how each outward form may differ when we set some truths out side by side. The real test, and Tayo stopped to slowly raise a single claw, the real test is how we use a truth once we have grasped its rim. We take the truth, we try it on, we view ourselves in mirrored glass, and only then do we decide if we will keep or dump the thing. From the Temple Dialogues. Well, how about this? Rat put the blue hat on, the felt sides drooping down nearly to his shoulders. Kylie touched a claw to her chin and cocked her head.
It'd make a nice hammock.
Rat grinned and put the thing back in the rack.
Not my color, huh?
A click of beak behind him. Please, Ma Jaybird said with a sniff. Don't get the merchandise all grubby.
Oh, say, you're right.
Rat turned, made a show of sniffing his paw.
I probably should have washed all those fish guts out of my fur before I came in, huh?
Ma Jaybird's head twitched away, her solid black eyes refusing to meet his. Rat sighed and moved down the aisle toward the mouse hats against the far wall.
So, what have you got that isn't in clan colors?
The bird didn't answer. He was about to turn and ask again, but Kylie took his arm, propelled him forward.
Nibbler yellow always looked a little too dark for you. You need a hat like the one you wore to the kids' party.
Well, maybe they've got one that's been sitting around for 10 years.
He looked over the shelves, hats in each clan's color and style, as well as sports hats, leisure hats, fishing caps, and shook his head. The afternoon after the party, he'd sat down and written Kylie a letter, the first time he'd ever done that, he realized, to explain what had really happened that night. And the only thing she'd said in her note the next morning was that she'd be happy to help him pick out a new hat at Jaybird's Emporium when he was ready. For 2 weeks, he'd managed to put it off, not sure he wanted to go into town again. But he couldn't get the scent out of his whiskers, the mutter of voices, the sense of security that had crept over him, even when he knew folks were staring. And Kylie, seeing her, talking with her, that click of connection he'd felt from their first silverware lesson 20 years ago. He couldn't stop thinking about her. So, yesterday, he'd finally asked when she would have some free time. She'd said she could squeeze him in today between her breakfast study session with the town council and her evening's duties at the lodge. And, well, Hawk had passed up 2 perfect opportunities to arrest him the night of the party. That had to mean something. What, exactly, Rat wasn't sure, but he'd dusted off his old black vest and padded through the woods to the Meerkat Road. He'd still had to swallow, coming over the rise at that first sight of Ottersgate, but there was Kylie on this side of the West Bridge, a gray shawl with turquoise highlights around her shoulders, her glasses sparkling in the noontime sunlight. Smiling, she'd led him over the bridge, across the common, and into the Emporium, much to the dismay of Ma and Pa Jaybird. He shook his head again and focused back on the hats.
I always liked the bowler.
He reached for the largest nibbler hat in the display, ignored Ma Jaybird's throat clearing, and put it on.
It just feels right.
He looked at Kylie.
Were her eyes shining? He stared, but she blinked and it was gone, though the smile under her whiskers seemed a little shaky.
Oh, the style suits you.
She reached up, took the hat from his head, and turned to Maud Jaybird.
Could we get this a little larger and in a lighter color? More like that one there.
She pointed to a sports cap, its bill dark green, but its crown a sandier sort of yellow. Ma ruffled her wings.
Special orders cost extra.
Undoing his satchel, Rat took out some of the otter scrip he'd collected over the years.
Yeah, I'm good for it.
The jay clicked her beak some more.
I'll not take your money for anything.
Rat stared, but Kylie said,
Oh, now, Ma.
And Rat heard those same soothing tones in her voice that Grandpa had always used when talking to difficult folk.
There's no need to be like this. Rat hasn't.
I've heard the stories, and I'll not do business with an eggnapper.
Ma's beady eyes glared at him.
You're wasting your time on this one, Counselor Nibbler. He was no good back then. He's no good now.
Rat started to open his mouth, but Kylie stepped in front of him.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Ma.
She reached into her shawl and pulled out a gold caster, the coin sparkling with the sunlight coming through the store's windows.
Would this be enough to compensate you for your trouble?
Trying not to laugh, Rat watched Ma Jaybird's eyes get very wide.
Ah,
she said.
Yes, that should cover our expenses.
She held out her wings, more than a slight quiver to them.
Always a pleasure doing business with you, Counselor Nibbler.
Kylie set the coin into her feathers.
So when will the hat be ready?
When?
Ma shook herself, blinked a few times, clicked her beak, and said,
2 weeks. Yes, come back then.
The jay scurried away, Kylie calling after her,
Thank you, Ma.
She put the hat back on the rack and smiled at Rat.
See? What could be simpler?
Rat shook his head.
I guess I'm buying lunch, then.
A laugh, and she started out of the store. Passing the front desk, Rat was tempted to make a face at the jaybirds, both scowling at him by the cash register, the caster no doubt safely locked away in it. But no, he could already imagine the stories this little visit would hatch. He quickened his pace, caught up with Kylie.
Thank you, Counselor Nibbler.
He shook his head.
Every time I hear that, I just know Grandpa's grinning somewhere.
She smiled up at him.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to me getting elected to the council. I mean, the lodge is the best job, but the council...
She looked away.
It makes me feel like he wouldn't be so disappointed.
Disappointed? Who?
Grandpa.
She fiddled with the edges of her shawl.
You were there that day, and he and Dad were still arguing about me becoming lodge mistress just before they died.
Hey!
Rat poked a claw at her shoulder.
Grandpa was never anything but proud of you. You know that. Same with your dad. You could have decided to throw it all away and become a professional water polo player, and they would have been right there cheering you on.
Some of her smile came back.
Thank you,
she murmured. Then she looked back up at him.
Well, if you're buying, does that mean I get to choose the restaurant?
You'll have to.
They'd passed through the east side of town by now, had reached the bridge and the East Channel Promenade, mice, small birds, and a few otters strolling along the walkway or sitting at the various cafes.
Last time I was here, I was being chased by a stoned bobcat, so I didn't really have a chance to see who's still in business.
Well, I know just the place, then.
Down the promenade, 2 blocks, around a corner, and there was Tugs, the little diner's brick front, almost exactly as dingy as he remembered from their school days. Kylie grinned over her shoulder.
They haven't changed their prices or their fry oil since you were here last.
She pushed the door open. Rat stepped in and, oh, powdered sugar and deep-fried potatoes, trout and cabbage, mint and garlic. He had to stand in the doorway a moment and savor it before he could move inside. He got his usual, catfish sandwich, cornmeal cakes, and mustard greens, Kylie getting the Cobb salad, and old Erst himself came out with their plates, what had to be the same gray apron tied around him.
I knew it was you soon as I heard the order.
He slapped Rat on the back.
Nobody else ever got mustard greens with catfish.
As he ate, Rat could feel the eyes of the other diners, but barely a whiff of anxiety touched his whiskers from them.
Weird,
he said.
Nah.
Kylie's whiskers were perking, too.
The folks who'd be the most disturbed about you being in town probably don't even know Tugs exists.
That's true.
He looked over his sandwich at her.
It was always like that, wasn't it? The big shots keeping to the hill around the lodge, and the other clans down the slopes. I just never realized it when I was a kid.
It's getting better, she shrugged. Grandpa made a lot of difference, and I'm trying to do what I can. Mr. Spinner only calls for the abolition of the town council once a week now, so that's progress.
He laughed.
You know, I'm surprised Aunt Milene let Cam marry Ulrin. I mean, a nibbler and an addler?
Kylie sipped her iced tea.
Well, she's good at only picking fights she can win. She went after you when she did because we were all so shaken up, we just sat there and let her.
She sighed.
I'm still sorry I didn't...
Hey, now, none of that.
He gestured with his fork.
One thing I've learned is, let the past go.
He shrugged.
I have to learn it over and over again, but still.
She smiled, and Rat felt his throat tighten.
She was just so...
Kylie, thank the gods!
A voice burst into the diner, followed by Corin Spinner and Paul Chowder.
I asked on the promenade where you were, and when they kept saying here, well, I just couldn't believe it.
She stopped with a sniff, her eyes meeting Rat's.
I can believe it now, though. Corin?
Rat waggled his claws at her.
You're looking radiant as ever.
He nodded to Paul.
You too, Paul.
Paul blinked, and Corin gave another sniff.
Well, the thing is, we had to move my brother's wedding to this afternoon, and Sheen Sawyer refuses to do anything I tell him. He keeps saying you wouldn't allow...
Whoa!
Another voice, the stocky form of Sheen Sawyer barreling in after it.
We've got the Speckler party tonight. We can't have two...
We can!
Corin spun on the other mouse.
The wedding party has to leave before sundown to catch their cruise to Beaverpool. That gives us a whole hour to get the lodge cleaned up and ready for the...
An hour?
Sheen waved his paws.
Your brother's wedding's going to be huge. How are we supposed to set everything up for that, then tear it all down and set up for the Spucklers? It can't be done. We...
Oh, it can.
Kylie stood.
Sheen, get back to the lodge and break out the shrimp gumbo. Corin, you start baking. I've got all the specifics for your brother's reception on my desk, and I'll give them to you when I get there. Paul, you need to round up the whole staff, anyone who's in town, even if it's their day off. Tell them I'll pay triple time for any shift they're willing to work.
The three mice ran out of the diner, and Kylie turned to Rat.
I could use an extra large pair of paws on this, if you're available.
Me?
Rat blinked, then grabbed his sandwich and tossed some scrip onto the table.
Sure, I got no plans.
Oh, you're a lifesaver.
She started out of the diner. Rat followed her up the streets to the lodge's rear entrance, the kitchen buzzing with mice.
All right,
Kylie said over the hubbub.
No larger folk are coming to the Spucklers' party, so we'll shift the decor for the wedding to that side of the lodge. Then we can...
Well, she went on, and Rat found himself put in charge of a partition Kylie wanted in the main hall. It would block off part of the hall around the regular entrance during the Spinner reception, then would have to be moved to block off the area around the larger folks' door before the Spucklers began arriving.
It's a good thing you're here,
Kylie said with a smile.
I doubt any three of us could shift this thing.
With all the rushing around, it seemed to Rat that Kylie was everywhere at once, giving instructions to Corin about the two types of cakes, helping Sheen with the cooking, directing the mop crews, getting the musicians on stage, greeting the guests, showing the photographer where to set up, filling the cups of popped corn to throw at the wedding party, keeping everyone's glass filled, reminding Mr. Spinner of the time so they wouldn't miss their boat, helping scrub the tables while Rat wrestled the partition across the floor, all the detritus from the reception piled behind it, then, looking fresh as ever, welcoming the first Spucklers. Rat set some leftover cabbage rolls aside for her. She always forgot to eat, he remembered, when she became the mad hostess. Then he started carrying the reception dishes from behind the partition through the back way into the kitchen, the wash crews going full tilt, each newly cleaned plate piled immediately with food and carried into the hall. Rat ended up at the drying racks next to Sheen, the mouse shaking his head.
Every time something seems about to go wrong, there she is, smoothing it out.
Rat nodded, peered out into the hall. The Spucklers' party was in the process of breaking up, Kylie cutting the rest of the cake into smaller pieces and setting them into waiting boxes. She was just finishing, was turning to help gather the tablecloths, when Rat reached her.
Come on, you,
he said.
I got some plates of food with your name on them.
Oh, in a minute.
She undid the muslin from the head of a table and tossed it into a perfect fold with one smooth motion.
I just want to...
Uh-uh.
He turned to one of the crew, Mart Pressner, another of their former classmates.
Mart, you guys can handle this, right?
Mart grinned and waved a paw.
Oh, take her away. She just makes the rest of us look bad.
Kylie arched an eyebrow.
You've got your evaluation coming up, haven't you, Mart?
All the mice laughed, Rat joining them as he took Kylie's arm.
You want me to carry you? Is that it?
She gave a theatrical sigh.
I can't trust anyone anymore.
But she moved with Rat to the kitchen door. The wash crew was finishing up.
Oh, don't forget to take cake with you,
Kylie told them, Rat leading her over to the side table where he'd been storing various of the evening's goodies.
Well, now.
She picked up a cabbage roll, closed her eyes, and took a deep whiff.
Oh, Sheen, you outdid yourself tonight.
She looked around the kitchen.
All of you did. I don't know how I can thank you.
Sheen pulled off his apron.
You can sit down before you fall down.
More laughter, and Kylie sat, crossed her paws, said,
Yes, Mr. Sawyer, sir.
Rat poured her a glass of fruit punch and straddled the chair opposite her.
And you can eat every crumb.
Well, if you insist.
She scarfed the cabbage roll in two bites, then patted a napkin to her whiskers with exaggerated delicacy.
Seriously, though, Rat, I didn't mean to kidnap you today.
She picked up another roll.
You've got a little traveling to do yet, so if you want to head on out...
What?
Rat gestured toward the main hall.
We've got to get that partition broken down, and those tables aren't going to store themselves, you know.
A smile spread over her snout.
Oh, thanks.
She bent to bite into the cabbage roll.
And if you'd rather not trek all the way back home, I've got a couch at my house you can borrow.
Opening his mouth to say sure, Rat froze. Here he was, in the very heart of Ottersgate, the town that had turned against him without a single thought, the town where half the population still seemed to think he was a monster. And Kylie had just invited him to spend the night at her place. Blood pounding in his ears, Rat stood.
I'll just get that partition folded up, then be on my way, I guess. Like you said, it's getting kind of late.
She looked up, her eyes fixed on his, her ears drooping just a bit.
I understand,
she murmured. Then her ears perked.
You'll have to come back to get your hat in a couple weeks, right? I'll write and let you know when it's ready.
He swallowed, not trusting his voice, but he did manage to say,
Thanks, Kylie,
before he stumbled out into the hallway, grabbed a wall to support himself. Not the smoothest of exits, no, but... Too fast. This was all happening too damn fast. Doors opening, inviting him in just like before. So, how long before they started slamming again? Folks yelling for the cops, another chase through the streets. Taking a breath, he pushed away from the wall. This wasn't going to be like last time. However he had to do it, he wasn't going to let it be like last time.
And the glare that Wolverine gave him, well, I don't know if you've ever been on the wrong end of a bush bear's stare, but believe you me, it's more than enough to make your fur swarm back and try to hide around the other side of your neck. But Tayo, he just stands up, gestures to the bar door, and says, Sweet as you like, after you then. And I swear, the floor shook each step that Wolverine took. He bashes the door open, somehow squoze all that muscle outside, then turns around in the snow, the sheer heat coming off him, melting the frost away under his paws. Tayo follows, pads over to right in front of that big loaf of a creature, as calm as if he was walking up to the bar for another shot of whiskey, and says, Reckon you'll be going first, then. And just like that, Tayo takes his stance, back paws set wide, front paws behind him, his chin raised a bit and jutting out toward the bush bear. Oh, and how that Wolverine licked his chops. He reared back a front paw bigger than most folks' whole head, and he slammed that paw like a thunderclap square into Tayo's jaw. And Tayo, well, he flies right off the ground, don't he? Sails clear across the road to disappear with a clatter and a crash into the woods back behind the mining camp. Now, those that had bet on the Wolverine, they gave out quite the cheer and started congratulating themselves on their perspicacity, and a grin split that Wolverine's face as wide as a knife gash across a ripe honeydew. Till... Something rustled the snow banked against the cold gray trees, and Tayo came marching out, easy as you please, his front paws still clasped behind his back. He calls out, A fair shot, old son, and crosses the road, his grin growing as that Wolverine shrank, more than a few jaws dropping amongst those watching from the bar's stoop.
up Tayo comes, the Wolverine shifting sideways to meet him, and still grinning he says, "My turn now, I believe." Peeling off another sneer, that Wolverine leaned forward and jabbed his chin out at Tayo. And Tayo swung his right paw around from behind his back, smashing the chunk of granite he had clenched there so hard into the Wolverine's face that the rock shattered to nothing but fine-grained gravel. Tipped that Wolverine right over backwards, it did, his eyes looking more like hard-boiled eggs spinning around under his brow. The shock when he hit the snow made the whole bar jump 7 inches into the air, and oh my, but didn't that Wolverine look precious as a kitten as he settled down then and there to take a bit of a nap. Tayo, though, he just brushed the dust off his paws and said, "After all, it's tool use what separates us folk from the brute creatures of the wild, isn't it?" And inside he goes to finish his beer. From Tayo and the Wolverine, version told by the otter storyteller Rax Pendletook, Beaverpool, 1735. The air thick and humid even under the tree cover, Rat trudged along, the hat between his ears just making it worse. But it was so new, stuffing it into his satchel would bend it all out of shape. So he just sighed and kept on trudging. The Jaybirds had done a great job, he had to admit, the hat exactly the right straw color, and with a brim so stiff he could twirl it on the tip of a claw. And the smile on Kylie's face when he'd first put it on had made all the trouble worthwhile. He'd bought her lunch again, and they'd walked around town visiting folks, till Rat figured it was time to get going. Kylie had a council meeting, and he just didn't feel like hanging out at the Rusty Keel. So he headed for home. But even this late, on a midsummer afternoon, Ottersgate was always 10 degrees cooler than the surrounding woods, the breezes puffing down the river, and the shadow of the bailey oak covering the whole island. He stopped, took his hat off, wiped sweat from his ears. He could go back to Cam and Allryn's. He still hadn't seen their house, and a scent settled out of the damp air then, one that made his whiskers jitter. But before he could move, the bushes rustled ahead, and out stepped Bobcat. Quick as a flash, Rat would have been into the undergrowth and running, but the cat's eyes were clear, his ears relaxed, the cloud of catnip that usually hung around him just not there. "Rat?" Bobcat said, his voice steadier than Rat had ever heard it. Still, sliding into Grandpa's basic defensive stance, he answered, "Bobcat?" A long moment. Then Bobcat gave a little cough.
I was thinking you'd probably be coming by here since you went into town.
He trailed off.
Yeah?
Rat sniffed the air. It couldn't be a trap. That would take planning, not Bobcat's style at all.
So, something I can do for you?
Bobcat looked down, shifted from paw to paw. Rat cleared his throat.
Before we both grow old?
Look, I just want to talk for a minute, okay?
Bobcat took a deep breath.
It's just that, you see, a friend of mine's in trouble, and I just don't know what to do, who to ask, even. So I thought, I don't know, maybe I could...
He met Rat's eyes for the first time.
Maybe I could ask you.
Me? Help you?
Not me, this friend of mine. I just...
Ears drooping, the cat shrugged.
I just don't know what to do.
Rat considered.
Does this involve the mayor at all?
What?
Bobcat's eyes went wide.
No, you can't tell Lorne, are you crazy? If he found out about...
He stopped, swallowed.
Look, this is all strictly confidential. You got that? Nothing to do with nobody but us.
Okay.
Spreading his whiskers wider than he had in a long time, Rat tried to sense all he could from the cat. Confusion and anger, of course, the usual for Bobcat, but also a concerned sort of fear, and the lack of catnip.
Well, who's the friend, then?
Well, now, wait a minute.
Bobcat's brow wrinkled.
You haven't said you'd help yet.
Well, I just figured you'd start by telling me who we're talking about.
Rat relaxed his stance, took off his hat again.
You mind if I sit down? It's kind of hot.
A quick smile curled over Bobcat's snout, a pleasant, relieved, almost friendly smile.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've got this friend.
We got a name yet?
Okay, fine. Her name's Garson Ricks, and she...
Ricks? That's a rabbit name, isn't it?
Bobcat's ears went back. You gonna listen or you gonna talk? Yes, she's a rabbit. That a problem for you?
No, no, no problem. A little surprising, maybe, but...
So, she's a rabbit. She's also a field supervisor at Bracken's Farms. You know, downriver by the Brackens?
That's why they call it Bracken's Farms, I've heard.
He held up his paws.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Just ignore me.
The cat glared, then sighed and brought his ears back up.
So, the other night, half the cabbage crop just disappears. Hadn't even been picked. Just gone. Right out of the ground. Garson, she's in charge of that part of the farms. And now the head idiots are saying she had something to do with it.
And you think she didn't?
Well, what do you mean by that? Of course she didn't.
You seem pretty sure.
Well, of course I'm sure. What gives here, anyway?
His eyes narrowed.
Oh, okay, I get it. They got to you first, didn't they? Already paid you off, told you to look the other way. I thought maybe you were different, like maybe you could see straighter than a bunch of pea-brain rabbits, but no, I guess I was wrong about you. Wrong about...
Hey, did I say anything?
Rat raised his paws.
I'm just asking...
Well, forget it!
Ears down and eyes black, Bobcat sprang upright. I don't need this from you. I don't need this from anybody. For an instant, Rat was sure Bobcat was going to pounce, but the cat only spun and shot off through the bushes. Rat almost yelled after him. Almost. But he stopped himself. The cat had seemed sober, but, well, Rat must have been mistaken. Bobcat usually had some paranoid fantasy going on, but rabbits and cabbages? That was something new. Blowing out a breath, he scratched an ear.
Not my problem,
he said aloud, and gathering up his satchel, he started off through the woods toward home again. But he couldn't get it to go away, the whole scene replaying itself in his mind as he walked through the afternoon heat. Bobcat had smelled clean. Rat knew he couldn't hide the stench of that catnip of his. He had seemed calm and rational right up to the end, calmer and more rational than Rat had ever seen him. And he had smiled a real smile, not his usual half-stoned leer, but an actual, genuine smile. What if Bobcat had been serious, had really come to ask for his help? It was too weird, so out of character that it had to be true. His ears were damp again. Rat took off his hat and fanned himself with it. Well, that stump of his was like an oven on days like this, and the Brackens weren't really all that far off his course. He could stop by the farms, sniff around a little, maybe pick up a few fresh vegetables. With a sigh, he put his hat back on, turned south, and stalked off through the woods. A bit of walking brought him out of the tree canopy at the Meerkat Road. He scampered across, the pavement hot under his paws. More walking, more stops to fan himself, and the forest floor began to slope downward. The trees thinned out, the trunks parting, and at last he came out onto a well-cropped lawn with a solid wall of thorns and brambles rising up in front of him. The rabbits took great pride in keeping their parts of the Brackens Valley neatly clipped and trimmed. Well, all cleaned up and with this hat, he could pass as a mouse. That might be the best way to go. He turned right along the Brackens wall, the air so heavy he could scarcely smell the blackberries out in the briars, followed it as it curved south, till the trees pulled away, and Rat found himself looking out over the fields of the Brackens farms. Rabbits worked among the vegetables, even in this heat, straw hats bobbing up and down between the rows. Rat stayed close to the brambles and tried to keep out of the way, rabbits hopping past with wheelbarrows of dirt or fertilizer or tiny seedlings. When the barns came into view ahead, Rat straightened his hat and his satchel and brushed at his fur a bit. The main offices would be the place to start, so he headed for the barn with the big Brackens Farms sign over the entrance. It was dark and cool inside. Rat peered around, straw and damp earth stroking his nose. No offices, though, so rubbing his chin, he was turning to go when movement caught his eye, a young brownish rabbit in a straw hat shoveling fertilizer pellets into a wheelbarrow. Rat swallowed, dug for every scrap of mouse etiquette he'd learned all those years ago, and padded over.
Excuse me, but perhaps you can help me?
The young rabbit dropped her shovel, a shiver twitching through her, a wide-eyed look snapping over her shoulder. Rat put on his most benign and bureaucratic expression. After all, only someone official would be wearing a bowler hat on a day like this. Nobody else would be that stupid. Turning around, the rabbit took off her own hat.
Oh,
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear you come in.
Rat smiled just the proper amount. Now, that's quite all right. You had your duties to attend to. I was looking for the main office, but I seem to have gone astray.
Oh, only a bit, sir. Mr. Thax's office is just next to the nursery, sir. That building there, right up next to the bracken's wall.
The rabbit pointed through the barn's other door to a cottage between a greenhouse and the thicket of briars. Thax, right. Old-time family, had run the farms for as long as there'd been mice on the island, had made a mint when the otters came along and began distributing their produce across the whole continent.
I see, yes.
Rat smiled up at the rabbit.
Thank you so much for your help.
She half-bowed and giggled a little. Then her eyes went wide again, and she stooped to Rat's ear.
Oh, sir, I don't like to pry, but...
She looked around the empty barn.
But you're here about Ms. Ricks and all that business, aren't you?
Rat's whiskers twitched.
Well, yes. Yes, I am.
He paused, then decided to ask,
Is there anything you feel I ought to know before I talk to Mr. Thax?
She started back a bit.
Oh, no, sir, no, it's nothing like that. It's just, well, sir, if you should get to see Ms. Ricks, could you, I mean, she should know, that is...
The rabbit stopped and took a breath.
Please, just tell her that none of us thinks she did it.
Eyes shimmering, the rabbit turned away, reached for her shovel with shaking paws. Rat didn't know what to say.
Sure. I mean, yes, certainly, I'll give her your message.
He watched her wipe her nose.
You must think a lot of Ms. Ricks. Oh, we all do. If you'll please excuse me now, sir.
The rabbit sniffed and bent to filling her wheelbarrow.
Of course, and thank you again.
Rubbing the base of his whiskers, Rat moved past her and stepped from the coolness of the barn, heat wrapping around him. He wondered why he was doing this, what had brought him all the way out here at the height of summer, what he thought he could possibly accomplish by stumbling around in a cabbage field. No answers came to him, trudging across the hard-packed dirt to the cottage, not that he'd really expected any. With a sigh, he pushed open the screen door. A small office, dark, a fan whirling quietly in one window and fluttering several potted ferns, the same color as the carpet and the cushions on the small stools set along the walls. A desk blocked the doorway at the other end of the room, the rabbit seated there, putting on his spectacles to squint in Rat's direction. Rat took off his hat.
Oh, good afternoon. I'd like to see Mr. Thax, if I could.
The rabbit behind the desk squinted some more, and Rat did his best to look like he knew what he was doing. After the tiniest of pauses, the rabbit said,
It is nearly closing time, sir. Do you have an appointment?
Well, I'm afraid I was called in on rather short notice, and...
Then you have no appointment.
Rat kept his voice light.
This won't take long, and I think Mr. Thax will be interested in what I have to say.
I see. And whom, may I say, is calling, sir?
Ratio Nibbler from Tucker Investigations.
And just for good measure.
I'm here about the unfortunate business of the other night.
Both statements seemed to have the desired effect. The rabbit's stubby whiskers twitched, and he flushed slightly at the base of his ears.
Oh, certainly, Mr. Nibbler. Mr. Thax is in his office. I'll see if he has a few moments.
Thank you.
Rat bowed, and the rabbit hopped through the doorway behind the desk. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you part 17 of a reading from Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Music and narration were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.